Live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
T.J. Yates will be your starting quarterback on Sunday. Yeah, I think it's going to put them in a situation where, even more so, this game's going to be on the defense to come up with some points somehow. I just don't see how they're going to generate a ton of offense against this Jets defense.
Yeah, and he's playing against a pretty good defense that has a pretty good guy out there covering your best weapon.
Herman is being offered basically doubling his salary. This is kind of doing, it's going to get rid of the programs that might be Power 5 programs that aren't willing to pay too much for a head coach.
Let's go with South Carolina because they officially have a job open.
Right.
We'll give you $3.5 million a year. A very healthy offer to a guy whose biggest job to this point has been UH.
But I do think it shows a lot that they're willing to put together that kind of money for a guy and try to keep him around.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. And I'm not going to reset things because we're going to jump right in with a guest here. Very happy to have on the show once again, Jim Lampley. Mr. Lampley, how are you, sir?
Not bad. How are you guys?
Doing well, doing well. First of all, let's talk about the fight that we've got tomorrow. Cotto Canelo, which is a fight that we've been kind of anticipating for a long time. Probably the biggest fight since Pacquiao Mayweather, and I expect it to be night and day difference between the satisfaction of...
You mean you expect it to be a good fight?
Well, I expect it to be a fight.
Yes, that's right.
First of all, but I mean, what do you see in this fight? What makes this fight exciting?
What makes it most exciting for me is that 99% of the time I would sit here at 4 o'clock Pacific on Friday and tell you that I have a very strong opinion on who's going to win the fight and why. And in this particular instance, I am totally at a loss. I have no idea who wins this fight. I think they are extremely similar as fighters, extremely similar as human beings. And for every element that you could point to and say, this is an advantage for this guy, I can point to something on the other side that counters that argument. So it's fascinating. I think it has a chance to be a truly great fight in the ring. I asked both guys today if they were expecting to be in the kind of fight where you see an adjustment made in front of you and you're making a tactical adjustment to try to match that within the next minute or between rounds, and they both said, yes, that's exactly the kind of fight we're going to have. A tactical stair step with considerable amount of controlled violence all the way through, and both of these guys have the power to put the other guy away in the late round, so there will be suspense as well as great drama all the way through.
How did you feel calling the Pacquiao Mayweather fight? I mean, was it when you're sitting there and all the build up?
I could have called it with my eyes closed.
And anticipation.
I could have called that fight with my eyes closed because it was exactly the fight that I expected to see.
It was.
It was exactly.
So you weren't excited.
It was exactly
for the fight.
The fight I have expected to see for years.
Okay.
Because I wasn't excited beforehand. I thought it was a foregone conclusion how the fight would be conducted, who would win it, and why. And I don't think the shoulder injury played a big role at all. I think that Manny would have had a hard time finding Floyd, if he had had Joe Frazier's shoulders at that moment. And so, you know, it was perfunctory, sort of pro forma, exactly what I expected to see, and it didn't excite me.
I'm going to let you play matchmaker here for a second, or promoter. Give me three fights that you would like to see happen in 2016.
Three fights. Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Golovkin, if Canelo is able to win this fight.
Would you say the winner of this fight versus Golovkin, maybe?
I don't think there's any chance in the world that Miguel is going to make the mistake of fighting Golovkin. Miguel is not a true middleweight anyway, and Golovkin is a big middleweight.
Okay.
And I think Freddie wouldn't make that particular error. There's a far greater chance that Canelo, who's the slightly larger man, and at 25 has a little more bravado about him, far greater chance that he's going to choose to fight Gennady than that Miguel would do that. So I'll start with that one. Obviously, Kovalev against Andre Ward
is
a fight that we expect to happen and are hoping to happen, and that's a tremendous matchup. Vladimir Klitschko against, I don't know, Deontay Wilder or Anthony Joshua, anything that would provide real competition for Vladimir as opposed to the, you know, routine title defenses that he has constantly been going through.
How much has it helped the sport that we seem to have this thawing between the different promotions and we're seeing more cooperation like this? So we actually see some bigger fights.
Well, you're seeing cooperation on this side of the dividing line. And by that I mean, you know, you're seeing cooperation, which is somewhat necessary because of the numbers of fighters that Al Haymon has signed to contracts on the other side of the dividing line. And Haymon reportedly has more than 200 fighters under management contracts. So if you're HBO and you have a tremendous lineup of big stars, most of whom are ranked among the top 10 pound-for-pound fighters in the world, you still have to find opponents for them. You can't make exciting fights without opponents. And if we were stuck with dealing with a promoter, say Top Rank, which only wanted its fighters to fight other Top Rank fighters, we'd be in a world of hurt. You'd be seeing the same fights over and over and over. It is absolutely necessary for Top Rank and Golden Boy and Main Events and Roc Nation and all the promoters other than those guys on the Al Haymon side of the fence that they cooperate with each other so that good fights can be made, and it's great to see that that's happening. On the other side of the fence, they have 200-plus fighters, but so far, he's not choosing to put them in against each other at the top. I mean, you know, until Danny Garcia is going to fight somebody like Keith Thurman, I'm not sure exactly what it is they're doing with all of their welterweight stars. If you put them in against guys whom I know they are going to beat, that's not drama. So, you know, we're in a kind of a a period of limbo here where it's hard to tell whether these two political sides of the fence are going to continue as they are, or whether at some point there's going to be a break, a watershed, a change in business practices, which will bring a flood of fighters back into availability for the other side.
It's Jim Lampley with HBO. I'll tell you what, take it off topic for a little bit. You've been in a few films, Blades of Glory, loved you in that. How much do you like doing that? Is that something you'd like to do more of every now and then?
My agent and my manager hate it. It's such a schedule disruption. You know, they never feel like I make enough money to do it, et cetera. But the question is always, all right, here comes Creed. I've just done Southpaw. Now they want me to do the same thing for Creed. Should I go back and do the same thing again? Or do I let somebody else call the movie fight? At the end of the day, it still seems to me appropriate to be the one who calls the movie fight because I'm the person who's seen as the so-called voice of boxing. And if I allow somebody else to call the fight in Creed or Southpaw, then somebody might think that they're the voice of boxing. So, you know, it's kind of as a defense mechanism, I still say yes to the movie outreaches. And this time, it appears that I got fairly lucky because Southpaw got unusually good reviews boxing-based movie, and now Creed is getting unusually good reviews for a boxing-based movie.
And don't you want, if one of those turns out to be the next Rocky, don't you want that to be you on the film?
Sure.
Calling it?
You know, if Creed means, and that's within the Rocky franchise, even though it's not Sylvester, it's still a Rocky-based story. If Creed's a big success, then we're going to see a Rocky VIII at some point. And yes, I would prefer that. If there's a fight to be called, it probably should be me instead of somebody else.
You're doing movies. You're doing, obviously, all the big fights. You do Fight Game on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, you're 66 years old. I mean, do you feel yourself slowing down, or
no.
Are you one of these
guys?
No, I
mean, I my career is more active right now than at any previous time. It's the best it's ever been, mostly because I have a studio show on HBO that's all about boxing, which I wanted to have for a while, and I'm glad that we're finally developing that and using it as a tremendous adjunct to our boxing programming. you know, you didn't even mention the other part of my career, which you may or may not know about. I also, you know, I'm the executive producer of the Fight Game. I produced on Freddie Roach. I produce other things for HBO. I'm working on a drama series, which is really my big goal, is to try to get this drama series on the air. Work is the best thing, you know.
Does that keep you young? Keep you feeling young?
Oh, hell yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, work is the thing that will keep you young as much as anything else that you can do.
That's good to know for those of us who are getting old over here. So maybe I need to work
Stick with it, you know. Hold on. No, I mean, when I turned 65, I was like, people retired at this age? Yeah. Why would you do that? You know, I mean, it just seemed so odd to me that that was the hard and fast dividing line. But let's face it, there's no heavy lifting in this. I mean, aside from packing the bag and getting on the plane, a lot of it is more fun than it is work. And that's probably why I'm able to keep doing it.
That's great. That's how we feel about our jobs. It's not really work, you know, and that makes it easy. Jim, great
chatting with the audience all afternoon, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Talking about all kinds of ridiculous stuff.
We were just talking about the optimal amount of times that you should be having sex per week.
One.
I saw
the report about one.
Do you believe in that, or do you think that's fake science?
My wife read it to me.
I said, don't ever let your wife see it. I believe we should only let women see the ones that say more sex will stave off ovarian cancer and things like that, and that's what they need to know about.
I think more than one is probably a good idea.
I think so. You gotta keep it fresh.
Hey, huh? I just want to say one thing before I go. That crowd, 31,000 plus in the Minute Maid Park in Houston on May 9 for Canelo Alvarez versus James Kirkland, one of the greatest boxing crowds I've ever seen. And that was such a perfect antidote to the week before, because unlike the case for Mayweather-Pacquiao, everybody in Minute Maid Park was a boxing fan, and they paid legitimate ticket prices for the chance to see a real fight, and it was the complete antithesis of what we had seen the week before. So I was proud of Houston, and it was a thrill to be there.
I agree, although I do think that in comparison to the fight, as opposed to contrast, I think in comparison to the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, it was also a bit of a mismatched fight. The James Kirkland that we once knew is no longer a thing.
Oh yeah, and no question
Canelo
about it.
Put a stamp on that this guy is not a real. He's not a real contender anymore.
For a minute, he was real competition.
For a minute,
he backed Canelo up in the first minute. That was kind of exciting, and then once Canelo saw his openings for the counter punches, it was a clinic.
Now that Floyd Mayweather's gone, Manny Pacquiao is riding off into the sunset. Who's the next big star in boxing? Who is going to take that crown from Floyd Mayweather as the biggest star in boxing?
Well, if it's going to be an American, if it has to be an American.
It doesn't have to be an American.
But it looks, you know, the American stars are Terrence Crawford and Keith Thurman. I think they're the two guys with real cachet for the future. The biggest star in boxing has to be Gennady Golovkin. I mean, Gennady Golovkin is a phenomenal personality, an amazing fighter, and he knocks everybody out. That's what people want to see.
I saw the pay-per-view numbers for his fight
were
disappointing. Do you think it's going to take a fight with a guy like Canelo to kind of put him up into that top tier?
I think it's going to take enough time to go by to erase the bad taste of Mayweather-Pacquiao for the general audience. I think there are quite a number of people in the general audience who just aren't going to buy a boxing match right now because they're so disappointed with the last one on which they spent $90 or $100.
Is it difficult because,
I mean, this number tomorrow is not going to be as big as it would have been.
Of course.
Had it not been for that.
But Canelo's got a built-in pay-per-view audience.
Oh, yeah.
Cotto's got a built-in pay-per-view audience. Most of these guys do. I mean, Pacquiao, they all have their – even Mayweather. Right. Do you feel like these Russian – or that area of the world, Golovkin, Kovalev, struggle because their people, their national support is not the same as some of these others?
Watch the closing commentary on last week's edition of The Fight Game, and it discusses exactly this
I have it
subject.
On my DVR.
This subject. You know, a long time ago, I'll give you the beginning of the closing commentary on The Fight Game. A long time ago, at the beginning of Vladimir's heavyweight career, I really thought that because of his physical attractiveness, the knockouts, the way he fought, that Vladimir Klitschko could become a crossover star in the United States. Larry Merchant, who was just as impressed as I was with Vladimir's abilities, said to me, Jim, no European athlete has ever accomplished that. And I hadn't focused on it at that moment, but he was right. You know, not Jackie Stewart, not Marcel Cerdan. I mean, I could go, not Rod Laver. No athlete from a foreign culture ever really became a big-time crossover star in America until Manny Pacquiao wound up singing sappy American songs on late-night TV. And you know, if anybody else can do that, it's Golovkin.
All right.
Jim, appreciate the time as always.
Thank you. My privilege.
To this guy all day, man. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I'm a rent girl, you know I enjoy it.
ESPN 97.5.
She says she wants some more.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. We're going to remind you, we're coming to you today live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, where two of boxing's biggest superstars, Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez, will collide in a mega fight for the middleweight world championship. Don't miss Cotto versus Canelo live on pay-per-view tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central Time in beautiful H-Town, Texas.
Bill Barnwell did a thing on ESPN.com today.
I like to call him Bill.
Billy.
William.
Billy Barnwell. He did a thing on the NFL playoff picture, and he talked about every year it seems someone outside the playoff picture at this point launches into the second half of the season and ends up in
that
the playoffs.
Kind of sounds like something we talked about earlier this week.
Yeah, and the Panthers were that team last year.
Yep.
Started out 3-8-1, and boom, next thing you know, they're in. He ranked 1 through 10. The top 10 teams that stand out as possible late-season breakouts. And he says the ones who are mentioned here are just too good to qualify as surprise playoff attendees. He's got an FPI estimate of their playoff odds, but he goes through these 10 teams and basically says why he thinks they have such a good shot or not a good shot of making it. Number 10, he's got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who sit at 4-5 right now. Their projected playoff odds, 3.8%.
So you're saying there's a
chance.
You're
saying there's a chance. They're 5 games out in the NFC South. I mean, they're obviously a wild card or bust.
And if you're looking at a 4-5 team that's going to make the wild card right now, I don't see it being them.
I don't see it being them either. How about the 4-5 St. Louis Rams, who, according to FPI, have a lower percentage, 3.1 for those Rams?
I would give the Rams a better chance than the Bucs.
Okay. I think their quarterback situation is just rough.
Well, I mean, hey, they've got the great Case Keenum now. So.
Yeah. Number 8, the Oakland Raiders, 4-5. Their FPI projected playoff odds, 5.1%.
Should be higher in the AFC because 4-5 keeps you in the wild card race right now.
Not just that, but if the Raiders beat the Broncos
and
they finish off the Chiefs, that would be a sweep over the Chiefs, and the Broncos are beatable right now, they could win the AFC West.
Yeah, I think 8 seems a little low to me.
The number 7 team, 4-5, with a 14.2% chance to make the playoffs, the Washington Redskins.
Oh, get out of here with that nonsense.
Nonsense?
Nonsense. They should not be ahead of either the Rams or the Raiders.
All right. Number 6, 2 wins, 7 losses, 2.9%. I'll let you guess who it is, even though
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, we've decided not to talk about them making the playoffs.
Dallas. Well, There's your chance.
They're 2-7. They face the league's second toughest schedule over the remainder of the season, including games against the Dolphins, Packers, Bills, and Jets.
I told you not to totally write them off. Shame on you.
Number 5, with a 4-6 record and a 4.8% chance, according to FPI, the New Orleans Saints.
I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
I mean, yeah, 2 weeks ago maybe, but after – well, maybe the coaching change helps, but I don't see it.
Number 4, with a 4-5 record – and a 22.9% chance to make it, your Houston Texans.
Stop that.
22.9%.
Their schedule's too hard coming in, I think. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty good chance, actually. That's higher than I would have put them at.
Number 3, this one will surprise you. They're 4-6 with a 13.8% chance. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who came out with a win last night.
I don't think that would surprise me. Actually, they're not a good team. Let's face it. Nobody in the AFC South is good, but they've at least got some good young players, and they seem to be getting better. And they're pretty well coached for a crappy team.
Number 2, I'm not sure how I feel about this. I know they're coming off a big win, but and they've got zero chance to win their division. The 4-5 Miami Dolphins have a 7.4% chance to get in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for them because, well, I don't know. I mean, you reel off five in a row here or something, and I mean, it's they got. I don't know. I don't know if I could buy that.
And number one with an 8% chance at this point and a 4-5 record, the Chicago Bears.
Well, that's a team that you brought up when we were discussing this the other day. That might be getting hot at the right time and maybe is starting to figure some things out with the new coaching staff. And they catch the Broncos at the right time also. And this could be interesting. I don't mind that one at all.
They've got a very soft schedule after Thanksgiving. They've got the Packers on Thanksgiving who aren't playing their best right now. They get Brock Osweiler this week. The only team with a winning record they face over the final five games of the season is Minnesota. So, and that's I'd say that's one of the more beatable over 500 teams. This number might surprise you. You remember the Bears started 0-3. They were a disaster. Most of that was with Jay Cutler being injured.
Right.
Since he's been back, he's posted a 71.4 QBR since returning to the lineup in week four. That's the fifth best QBR in the league over that time frame.
Interesting.
Jay Cutler playing some good ball. Now, if there's one thing I do know about Jay Cutler, as much as I loud him sometimes, he is the most inconsistent human that plays that position in the whole world. So he could be due for a five-interception game where, you know, he flips the finger to the head coach. But right now, that guy is riding a hot streak.
Well, and I think if you can get Matt Forte back and healthy.
I think so, too.
They're running the ball so much better this year and so much more, and I think that's taking some of the pressure off of him. And it's an interesting team. I disagree with a couple things on that list, but, I mean, I guess, is he ranking him in the order of most likely in his mind? Is that how they're ranked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I think the Raiders are too low. I'd say the Redskins are too high on that list.
Yeah. What do you think of Jaguars higher on the list than the Texans?
I think they have
they've got a head-to-head win over them.
I think I'd flip-flop those two.
I think so, too.
I mean, I think the Jaguars should be on the list, but anyway. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Andre Ward.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about
the best in the world.
Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, joining us now, the undefeated Andre Ward, who coming off a win over Paul Smith. And Andre, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
So what's next on the horizon for you?
We're working on it. Slight setback, nothing major, nothing big. I was supposed to be on this phenomenal card. And, you know, I had a little inflammation in my knee. I mean, I work really hard. And if I'm honest, I think I pushed a little too hard in training camp. I mean, I it's always like a thing with me where, you know, my team has to just really monitor me because I'll go over the deep end if I'm not, you know, monitored. And I think I just pushed a little too hard and, you know, I was in great shape, great sparring, felt good. First fight at 175 and I got some inflammation in the knee, which is not, you know, uncommon. And I battled to get it out for 7-8 days and it just got to the point where a tough decision had to be made.
Who makes that call? Is it you or your trainer, your doctors? Who makes the call on whether or not you're going
to
fight?
I mean, ultimately, I think I would have to make it, but, you know, I try to, you know, put my trust in Verge, who knows my body and you know, just understands the dynamic of everything we're dealing with. What, you know, the magnitude of a cancellation, delay, like all those things. He's the guy that I look to, and I give him feedback. You know, he just asked me how you're feeling, and we did everything we could. So I have to look at it like, you know, this date just wasn't mine. That's not the end of the world. It's unfortunate, disappointing, especially being here, you know, today. But my focus is just now promoting this great event and telling the people to tune in because it's going to be a great fight.
Now, you've basically cleaned out your division, which is why you're
– Well, that's what they say, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And Kovalev has done almost the same. I mean, they've they haven't really found anyone to be a match for him. And obviously, when HBO and you agree on this deal, that fight is part of the mix. Is it hard to take other fights knowing that that's the big fight that you really signed on for, and everything else is just almost, I don't want to say warm-ups because a fight's a fight, but you know the difference between a fight that you were going to have this Saturday and a fight against Sergey Kovalev. I mean, is it difficult?
I think the weird part is just staying focused, not just on the guy that's in front of me, because the reality is it's not just him. I mean, we're working on, you know, things for Kovalev now, if I'm being honest, and we have been for a while, anticipating this move up to 175. So you are juggling, and it's not easy. But you got to kind of find a niche, and you got to kind of figure it out. And I think we're doing that. You know, we've been watching Kovalev for a while. We didn't just set our sights on him. And you know, a lot of times people say, you know, you got a bullseye on your back, and you got to, you know, people are watching you. Well, I got that same bullseye on these guys that are watching me. So we're staring at each other, and you know, we're ready to go. And I think Kovalev's that guy where he's been watching me and I've been watching him. But first things first, I think any great fight needs to be built up, and that will be a great fight. It's a major risk for both of us. I'm moving up in weight, and he's risking, you know, he's probably going to be fighting the best fighter he's fought in his career. So a lot at stake, but I think it needs to be built up.
You know, you mentioned you're moving up in weight. You've got 7-8 extra pounds to pack on. You eating a lot of red meat. What are you what are you doing to make the change in your body? And I know 7-8 pounds doesn't seem like a lot to the average guy, but yeah. I mean, when you don't walk around with a bunch of extra stuff on you anyway. So what do you have to do to make sure that you're at the most effective, you know, weight you could be at?
I don't think it's about adding per se. I just think it's about, and that's a great question, by the way. I think it's more about just transforming what I have and you know, making what I have more explosive, you know, and just more, you know, more dangerous and just, you know, continuously, you know, turning my body into a weapon. And that's what the 75 move is all about. I didn't even see who was behind me. I just felt those hands, and I knew I had a feeling it was B-Hop. How you doing, man? Good to see you. Yeah, I'll talk to you. We got interrupted by Menard.
That's
Howard
all right.
Right there.
It happens.
Future
can,
first ballot
what,
Hall of Fame.
What can do that?
What am I going to do? Tell him to get out of here? I mean, what am I going to do?
We got it. Yeah. So, and as far as the diet, I think it is it's not, again, necessarily eating more. It's just eating the right things. I mean, you can eat a lot of empty calories and a lot of, you know, things that just don't benefit the body. And I'm just locked in. This next year, if I thought I was dedicated, you know, my dedication level is going to the next level because I'm on a mission to win these belts at 175.
What about this fight Saturday night? How do you see this going? I think most of us are pretty excited about it. I get the sense you are, too.
It's a lot to be excited about. You know, there's a lot of weird things going on in boxing right now on the political side and managers and promoters. And I just think fans, you know, as best as you can and I can as a fan, just try to ignore those things, man, and just focus on matchups like this. Both of these guys, Canelo is putting a lot on the line. He's got a country on his back. Cotto has a legacy, another first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Is putting a lot on the line against the young lion. And I think it boils down to it's a 50-50 matchup. There's an argument for both ways, Mexico versus Puerto Rico, the great rivalry. But who's going to show up on the night when the lights are on and everything matters? That's going to be the guy who gets his hand raised.
Last we talked to you was before Pacquiao Mayweather. You hadn't agreed to move up in weight yet.
Yes, sir.
And the fight that we were all kind of daydreaming about was Andre Ward and Gennady Golovkin,
right,
who you're calling Little G now.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
But when he said he'd fight anyone from 154 to 168, and I think that was obviously directed at you, and then you say that he did not want to fight you, and now you make the decision to move up in weight. Did that kind of weigh on you a little bit that, you know, if you move up in weight, it's going to be more difficult for you to get back down and to get that fight with Golovkin?
I think to answer this as best I can is they don't want to fight me.
Okay.
And, you know, it's very tough because it's a lot of propaganda thrown out there.
Do you want to fight him?
I mean, I think I've been clear about that.
Okay.
I mean, it, you know, it's the beautiful thing about the Internet. It's on the record. You know, and I've been on the record, you know, while I had my lawsuit going on with my former promoter, I would be asked point blank, what do you think about Gennady Golovkin? I said, I would love to fight him. Tell his people to call my people. Let's make it happen. And that's what just fans got to understand. The networks want great fights.
Of course.
They're not running from them. That's what they're about. The fans want great fights. So it's left to the two parties. And if two fighters really want to fight, it's not that hard to make a fight. And I'm not the type of guy that's going to chase a guy who's in a lower weight class. But when he said my name and when he went on this campaign as if he was willing to do this. That's when he got my attention, and I focused solely on him because I thought that was the best matchup for the fans at that time. Mega, mega fight. Wasn't an easy fight for me. Wasn't going to be an easy fight for him, but they simply refused. I mean, I have an email right now that shows his promoter before this fight, this last fight that he fought was made, where we make him an official offer, the split, the revenue, everything, billing, what it would look like, and they turned it down in less than 5 minutes. That's the reality of what we're dealing with. Everything on the internet can go either way.
How frustrating is that? Because you have always been a guy who wants to fight. You want the big fights. And when you get something like that, how frustrating for that is you for you personally is that?
Very, because, you know, and it's not so much for me personally. For a moment, it's a letdown, like, okay, that fight is not going to happen. But I feel for the fans, and I feel for, you know, the people that come to me confused. You know, you guys just asked me, do you want that fight? It's not clear because there's so many different things thrown out there, and I'm the type of person that I'm not going to react to everything that the promoter says. They get paid to say what they say. They get paid to push their guy and you know, his manager. They get paid to do those things, right. And I have a busy life. I got four kids. I'm married, and I'm, you know, I got things going on, and I'm just not interested in getting back and forth into the mudslinging, so I won't answer those things, and it confuses people. That's the part that hurts me, and you know, I think it's not good for the game. There's no clarity.
All right, that's Andre Ward, the undefeated Andre Ward. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you guys so much.
2016, Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev is it's already circled on well, we don't have a date, but it would be circled on my calendar as one of the biggest fights of 2016. I'm looking forward to it. Best of luck to you up until then. And
thank you so much.
We'll probably be out here talking about your fight here in a few months,
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Okay, so that's Andre Ward. And before we go to break, I got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers. Forget the Black Friday sales. At Texas Mattress Makers, they always make it easier. It's Black November. You're going to enjoy 40% savings off select mattresses and all standard sizes. So check this out. A custom-fitted queen size, usually $6.99. During Black November, just $2.99. Top-of-the-line twin size, $4.99. Now $2.49. A custom king-size bed is now just $3.99. It was $8.99. Three different feels are available, firm, plus, and pillow top. Go get custom fitted at Texas Mattress Makers. You not only get factory prices because they make the bed, but you get custom fitted for a bed made for your body so you sleep better. You save money over what you would pay in a retail store. And in November, you're really saving money. Experience the best in quality beds. Go visit Texas Mattress Makers today. 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Tell them I sent you. I promise you they will take care of you. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, TexasMattressMakers.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Blue in the sky, green. A little drop of dreams can go so.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. Open your hearts to needy children in the Houston area this holiday season.
Tots.
Gal Media and Neighbors Emergency Center in our Toys for Tots Toy Drive. We'll hold a special Saturday toy drop at Neighbors Emergency Clinic in Crosby from 2 until 4. Drop off your unopened, unwrapped donations. You'll get to enter to win an autographed Dwight Howard jersey and help us bring joy to all tots this year. I know you're all about joy.
I love tots. Cheese and chili preferred.
I'm sure you do. So,
or sriracha ketchup is nice with tots, too.
Yeah. I've never actually tried that.
Yep.
I may have to. So been a fun couple of days out here in Las Vegas, and we've had some great guests. And for those of you who really aren't into the fighting and the boxing interviews, we appreciate the patience because that's it's one of the things that we do every now and then and takes the show off in different directions. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's good to get Andre Ward. It's good to get a guy like Oscar De La Hoya, even though it was only for a few minutes. And I do miss that we didn't get old man Bob Arum.
Listen, Fred, I can't be everywhere at all times. Normally, I would love to talk to you guys. You know, you treat me with respect the way, you know, a man like me, a white man, should be treated. And What was I saying? Well, I forgot what I was saying.
Well, it's
I could not be there today.
Because which ones were... Well, was it the Mexicans or the Puerto Ricans that you didn't want to be around?
No, I don't want to be around the Puerto Ricans. Listen, there's a lot of Latinos here today. And Fred, I've said this many times. I love the Mexican fighters. What I don't like are all the rest of them. So, except the ones that buy pay-per-views. Buy the pay-per-views, but not this one. Buy the next one that says Top Rank.
All right. On that note, we should go into stupid
stuff. That was super racist, Bob.
It was. On that note, we should go into stupid stuff we said this week.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
We don't sheen it out there.
I had to stop at Walgreens or CVS on my way in today. And Fred asked me to get him a jumbo pack of condoms, ribbed.
Extra large.
Extra large. I don't know why. He wants like the Trojan Magnum XL that are like guys built like water pitchers.
So look, I hired Jesus, right? My main man in the back of the house, Jesus.
Okay.
And he comes up with some amazing stuff. You know, I mean, he loves what he does, and he puts a lot of effort into these off-menu stuff. I'd never had chicken and waffles until he made it.
What?
Wow.
Never.
That's good.
So does he cook fish, or does he teach people to fish?
Both.
I'm taking my headset off right now.
Bernard, we've had before, and it's usually a train wreck. No, because he doesn't... And the creepiest part... was how he stares directly at you with those weird eyes.
Dude.
While he's trying to make a point. And I'm just, and you're just...
I kept wanting him to look at you.
And I kept wanting him to look at you when he was doing it to me.
And then he said, there's always going to be a reason people don't like you. Like your beard. Look me dead. He was looking me dead stone cold in the eyes when he said that. They'd be like, people don't like you because of your beard.
Why was he talking about diabetes when he was looking at you? Shouldn't he have been looking at
Dylan? I don't know. I don't know.
Now, that is your Zadok Jewish Gym of the Day. So, play the music again, Tyler.
Tyler, play the music again.
Tyler.
Okay. Let's forget about that.
Yeah,
it's the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
It's the Gym of the Day.
Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
Yeah.
All right.
Tyler, that's... Live version.
That was terrible on your part.
I apologize. I'll shame bell myself.
Yeah, all right, well, if you can actually... There you go.
Hey. You can find the shame bell, but not the Gym of the Day.
Exactly.
This year, I think Shannon and Kara.
Both red bikini and Santa?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I could use some new stuff in my phone, so definitely.
Poor women.
I don't think your screen can take it.
I don't either. He invests heavily in phone cases.
For a reason.
For a good reason, because...
Well, I think he needs to put a life-proof case on it.
He puts his phone through stuff that, like, a normal phone should never come out of. And his phone's just like, yep, let me just wipe this thing off, dry it off.
Got this.
Yep, works. Boom. No matter what bodily fluids he puts on it, it seems to come out looking all the better.
Not always mine.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
Ah, yes, lots of stupid stuff, as usual.
As usual. And that didn't even count what we've been saying off the air down here.
No, it doesn't, which usually is... I think one of these days it'd be kind of cool to have a behind-the-scenes thing that we record and people get to listen to it, because some of the funniest stuff we can't say on air.
Right.
And if we did, we'd be fired. So, anyway, and quick last thoughts on the Texans Sunday. T.J. Yates versus... Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Man, I've said a couple times today, it stands true. I don't see a way for the Texans to have much success offensively. The Jets are so good at taking away the run and taking away your top receiving option. And if you're going to force T.J. Yates and C.J. Fedorowicz to beat you, I'm sure that's exactly what the Jets are hoping for.
I think it's going to be... It's basically going to take a 17-13 type of game where you get either a defensive touchdown or you get set up by the defense for a touchdown, because I don't really see this offense being able to put up more than 10 points on its own, and I think that might be stretching it, especially against this Jets defense. All right, guess what? It's going to wrap it up for us.
Back to the poker tables, Fred, with us.
Yes, it is. Back to the poker tables and the race book and the sports book and everything else. And,
back to degeneracy.
Yeah, and I'll be back in town. Well, I won't be back in town tomorrow. I'll be in Louisiana tomorrow. Back in town on Sunday for Whateverfest. So get a chance, pick up some tickets for that. It's a great event. I want to thank John Lee back in studio for taking care of us as always. Michael Pearson, who does just a great job out here keeping us on air whenever we're on these road trips. AJ Hoffman, great job. Give myself a solid D-plus for the week and for the day. Till Monday, stay sportsy, bitches. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend. Thursday was Thursday. Friday.
ESPN 97.5.